my youngest daughter died, Rachel, from an inoperable brain tumour, and it was for us as a family one of the, you know, the most devastating and darkest times of our lives. Each of us struggling to cope with our grief. We're all grieving very differently. Her brother, her sister, and myself and my husband. And it was at a bereavement event that we met with other bereaved parents, and just talking to them, we just really connected. And you know, for the children meeting other bereaved siblings, that helped them as well to realise that we weren't on our own. So that group of parents who had met at that event continued to meet. And in 2008, we launched Annam Cara. So believe it or not, we're now 10 years old, and we're there, I suppose, to close the gap that was there for information and support for bereaved parents throughout Ireland. And we are an inclusive organisation, so we support all bereaved parents regardless of the age of their child or the circumstances of the death. And in fact, even if it was a recent death or one that maybe took place many years ago, you know, I was at one of our bereavement information evenings there a couple of weeks ago, Miriam, and there was a dad who was 22 years ago that his child had died, and he said, "I just never grieved that child, and now, you know, for some reason he now feels that he needs support in that." And it's great that Annam Cara is there. We have our information pack, which is available to all bereaved parents. We have then the bereavement information evenings, which we run in September and October, because these are very difficult months with the dark evenings coming in. And then we also then have our parent evenings, which we run monthly between September and June at all our groups around the country.
Yeah. And they say there's no loss like the loss of your child, and that, you know, you really just can't understand it until you've experienced it. And you mention when you're talking about your meetings and the memo that you're putting out about the meetings, that, you know, people feel like they're wearing a mask and that really nobody understands them except other people who've experienced it.
Yes, and I suppose even within a family, you know, you're going to protect your other loved ones. You're not going to tell them how bad you're feeling. So when parents come into Annam Cara, they can let that mask drop. They can talk about what's on their mind. They can, you know, share their fears. They can ask, how do people cope with their first birthdays, first, you know, we have Christmas now looming. It's already in the shops. You know, a very tough time for families facing into their first Christmas without their son or daughter. So it is great that they can ask those questions and share their fears and be reassured by other parents further down the road that what they're going through is normal. And parents will often share what they did and how they got through different events in a hope that maybe the more recently bereaved will find some suggestions, some help.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Christmas. Does faith play a role in it for people, or do they get angry? Do they, you know, if they had a faith, do they think, well, why me? Or, you know, what's this kind of horrible punishing God doing to me? Or do they find some kind of consolation there? Or is it not really a feature for people?
Well, we're an inclusive organisation, so we would be very respectful of everybody's faith, you know, be it, you know, religious faith or spiritual faith. And then we would have plenty of, you know, parents there as well who would have no faith, or, like you said, maybe would have had faith and would have absolutely been going to church and good Christians, and then this happens, and, you know, it's, why did God do this to us? You know, there is no, I suppose, formula or recipe. I think some parents get great comfort from their faith, and that's fantastic. Some parents get great comfort from spirituality, and I think that's fantastic too. And, you know, and it's funny, even the parents who would be agnostic or atheist, you know, they too, they find ways of getting through this. You know what I mean? They really do. Everybody finds their own way.
Yeah, I mean, and one of the biggest ways, I suppose, of getting through any kind of grieving process, people have often said, or any tragedy, is to help other people, and that's obviously what you did.
Yes, and I mean, I was just one of the founders. There was a, you know, a core group of us here in Dublin, and there was actually another group in Cork. I think the whole ethos of Annam Cara is, it is parents first coming in, seeking help and information and some sort of solace. And for the parents who are there, we reach the hand back to help them. And then in time, they're the parents who reach back. And that has been the last years, that 10 years, that's what we've been seeing happening. And I think it's part of our children's legacy. You know, they've died way too soon, and that's a massive loss for us, a loss we'll always carry, because you'll always wonder what the milestones they should have made, you know, what they would have liked, you know, would have been like growing up and that. However, I just think that, you know, Annam Cara, I think a lot of parents who've availed of our service would say it is part of our child's legacy that we help other parents on this desperately tough journey at the start. But somehow we find that resilience, we find that strength. And I often think, yeah, we do it to honour our child.
Mm. Yeah, so in a way you're able to keep their memory alive to the work that you do.
Absolutely. And you know, it is nice, you know, if I'm 14 years bereaved now, you know, a lot of my close family and friends, you know, they don't really talk about Rachel, and it's only because they're not sure how I would be and they don't want to make me sad. But it's wonderful to sit with, you know, the group of parents, you know, and you know, talk about her and, you know, reminisce and, you know, share the memories. And that's what's important, you know what I mean? Because, you know, death, yes, it ends our physical relationship with our child, however the love you share, the bond you have, that continues on and on.
Yeah. And what age would Rachel have been now?
If Rachel was still alive, she'd now be 19. Yeah, so she'd be 19, probably going into her second year of college. And I think that's really, you know, something that parents will always be able to tell you where their child should be.
Yeah,
which is, you know, they just know, you know. But she's forever a five-year-old who, you know, that's when the age she was when she died. But that's where she should be, yeah.
And is that hard for you then if you see people with children that age, you know, around about that age? Does that particularly resonate?
I think over the years, yes, it would have when I was, grief was raw. But now I think, you know, I have a niece and there's 3 months between them. So I like to meet with Daisy and hear what's going on in her life, because it just gives me an inkling that where, you know, and it doesn't really make me sad. No, it doesn't. Of course, I miss her every day, but I just think that is, life does go on and I can't change what happened. You know, I won't say accept it, but I have to accommodate it. You know what I mean? And that's what I do in my life.
Yeah, and I suppose you can, as you say, get joy out of seeing your niece doing the milestones that maybe you might have missed with your daughter.
Absolutely, and even last year, like, you know, she did her Debs, and now I have to say it was sad, but seeing her all dressed up, it was lovely, and to be part of that. So, yeah, so, and I know that's what Rachel, she would have wanted me to go over and be there with her and congratulate her, and we will always make those milestones with Daisy, because it would have been what Rachel would want as well. Yeah. And that's important to remember too.
You talk about people finding different ways and people helping. I mean, are there other things that people do that help them get through? Particularly in the very raw days, you know, when you're at the start and you maybe just can't even get out of bed.
Well, people find different ways. Some parents would say journal, you know, writing a journal is really good, particularly as the days, weeks, months pass, you know, reading back and entries, because sometimes you can't see a whole lot of healing going on, and you sometimes it actually feels it's getting worse. So I think when parents have kept a journal, they've been able to read back on that journal. So that's one thing. I think, you know, maybe sometimes doing new things. I was only talking to someone the other day and they said that they've signed up for a night class, and in this night class nobody knows who they are or what's happened to their child, so they have this little bit of anonymity that and they can do, and they're learning a new skill. So I think, and then a lot of parents will go out and they'll fundraise, you know, for different reasons and for different causes. And so I think everybody finds their own way, and it's not that, you know, I think everyone's way will be different, you know, because everybody's grieving differently, because everyone's relationship with the, you know, the person who died is different. So I think what is important that we try and journey through it and not get stuck in our grief, because you know, that's when things can get very sad and very dark, when you can't journey through it. So I think it's to find what helps you. Again, I know other parents would talk about planting and growing things, and in fact, you know, even I know you couldn't see it come up tonight, but there's a beautiful oak tree, and that was given to me as a little sapling. And it's now like a massive 30-foot oak tree just down on it. So even something, you know, I nurtured that and minded that, because we've deer up here, they eat it for their breakfast. So I minded that tree, you know, and now it's just massive. And, you know, it's wonderful. Nature is wonderful, because, again, and I'd say, you know, a lot of parents find healing in nature, walking in nature, being in nature. Yeah.
Yeah, because I suppose nature in a way reminds you of the naturalness of the life cycle. You know, even though it's unnatural to lose your child before yourself, there's still a naturalness to that, you know, life and death cycle that you can see everywhere in nature.
Yeah, and you know, even, you know, people who are by the sea, the sounds of the sea, you know, even sitting in the garden, and even though you may be, you know, very upset and you could be crying, but, you know, having the birds and nature around you, you know, there's something, I always feel there's always a little sign in nature, you know, whatever it be, or even just the sun on your back sometimes, it's just, it's healing.
Yeah, it's a reminder that life goes on and you can go on.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Miriam. Yeah.
And so for anyone listening who'd like to get in touch, maybe you could tell us what the best way for them to find that information.
Well, they could. I suppose for any of your listeners out there, they can go to our website, which is www.annamcara.ie, or they can call us on our information line, which is 085-2888888, or they can drop us an email at info@annamcara.ie.